Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Goldhawk. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Goldhawk is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Goldhawk. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited today because my good friend Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse, is on the air. We're talking about some of the interesting news articles that are coming out of late and our thoughts on them and why you should be very afraid of the real estate market. Well, not necessarily. Kev, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. I'm excited because, you know, I feel like there's so many of these articles that are out there that just paint a very interesting picture of what's going on in the market, in the real estate market today. And I want to jump into that. But first, give us a little one-two, who you are, what you do, and what Renters Warehouse does.
Yeah, so Renters Warehouse is America's largest third-party professional landlord. What that means is we lease and manage mainly single-family homes for our clients. We manage about 22,000 homes across 42 markets today. And growing. And, you know, we're out there helping our clients analyze new properties, grow their portfolios, educate folks, help them, you know, understand this market and understand why investing for the long term in single family rentals is a fantastic retirement strategy, part of their, you know, financial freedom package, so to speak. So it's a fun thing.
That's awesome. And for those of you that are interested in scaling your residential rental portfolio, really check out Renters Warehouse. It's awesome. I mean, you guys do a fantastic job, even like just being an advisor and somebody to listen and advise on some of the properties that I'm looking at. It's always cool because in the investment space, there's not enough good advice that goes around. And it just makes sense. Give them a call. Go to the site.
And you know, awesome. Looking at your stuff, you look at your stuff, Abhi, is easy because you always have the best deals ever. You know, you've got an app for finding these things. So you just you email me over your deals, and I'm like, yeah, that looks great. I don't even look at them anymore.
Perfect. You just have an autoresponder to my emails. I get it. Like, that's awesome.
That's right.
You know, that's
right.
It happens to greatness, and I appreciate that. we have a lot of analysts. I mean, just in my email very recently, I've just been getting, hey, can you comment on new home sales dropping to a near two-year low this month? Like, are people trying to intentionally find something to rub the real estate market the wrong way just to get some type of reaction? Like, what's really going on here?
Yeah, you know, there's not many people out there that like to try and be positive about things. And I think, look, face it, let's face it, the real estate market, along with any other financial market and all markets, is certainly cyclical. So at some point, it's going to have a correction, or it's going to, you know, maybe slow its growth or have some negative trends, and that's to be expected. And you need to be ready for that when you're investing in anything, but certainly real estate. But, you know, a lot of the commentary today I find funny because they're comparing year-over-year trends. And, you know, you'll see these major headlines about the fact that real estate prices are appreciating slower than they did last year, or real estate appreciation is down over, you know, last quarter or year-over-year, things like that. And all that means is it's growing a little slower. It's still growing, but instead of having a you know, I don't know what the numbers have been lately, but instead of a 4% appreciation, it's 3.5, or instead of 3.5, it's 3, which means it's still growing and price appreciation is still happening. Yet if you read the articles and the headlines, you'd think that housing prices are actually declining, right? And right. But you got to be careful of what the headline says and dive into the data. And, you know, it's amazing the fact you got to go out and defend positivity in the market oftentimes. And I think that, frankly, real estate appreciation price, in my opinion, the fact that it's slowing a little bit is probably a good thing for the real estate market in the long run, right?
So why would you – I have my own thoughts about this. Why would you say that appreciation slowing is actually a good thing for the long term?
I think it helps, you know, prevent the quote-unquote bubble, right? We can't sustain some of these markets that have been seeing double-digit appreciation for the last several years. You know, that worries me. That brings me back to a decade ago when we were seeing that. We saw a big housing crash from it because prices were getting out of control. Affordability was getting out of control. And there had to be a correction. If you see the housing price appreciation slow a little bit, and especially in these markets that saw crazy appreciation the last couple of years again, I think it creates a more stable market overall. And, you know, as a correction might come, it doesn't need to be as dramatic. Or maybe things just level off, right? So out of control growth in anything, whether it's stocks or real estate prices, you know, isn't sustainable. But slow, steady growth that makes sense, that is sustainable. So I think things slowing down a little bit isn't necessarily a bad sign. Now, if trends continue to slow and reverse and decline, then obviously it's a different situation. But that's not what we're seeing today.
So let's take the flip side. Let's say that appreciation was just every year over year was increasing. So the relative percentage difference was increasing at like say 1% or 2% or 3% last year. Let's say it was 10%. This year it's 13%. Next year it's projected to be 18%. What do you think the headlines would say then? Real estate, the best way to make money, and then everybody jumps in. Like, what do you see?
Yeah, and you and I talk about this a lot. If you're going to invest in anything, you got to get educated, understand what's really happening, and don't be just following the headlines out there. And people, I think people are always looking at short-term trends and trying to make long-term decisions based off of them. And, you know, so it's really important to understand what's really in the data, not just what the headlines are trying to create. Let's face it, the news and the media – generally speaking, thrive off of hyperbole or negative stories or things to make people worry. That's where they get the eyeballs from.
Right.
People aren't necessarily clicking on the story that says real estate price is stable. Right. That doesn't get a lot of clicks. And so when you're reading those articles, that's great. Read between the lines. Click on to the data links where they link to the real data, and interpret it for yourself and understand that a decline in appreciation doesn't mean a decline in housing prices. It means that appreciation rate's slowing, which can be indicative of a longer-term trend, but that's, I don't think, you know, from my perspective, that's what we're seeing today. And frankly, as a long-term real estate investor, that doesn't worry me that much anyway, because if prices were to stabilize or maybe even slightly go down, I'm still a buyer because, again, you know, I think you and I talk about this a lot on the show. I'm a long-term hold guy. So if prices go down next year or the year after that, in 20 years, they're still going to be higher than they were today.
That's right. It's, you know, we see a lot of stuff hit our emails. Something very recently, it was like a really good marketing tactic that tied the subject line of this email was Jupiter no longer classified a planet. I'm like, what? And then I read into the email and it says, haha, just kidding. Jupiter still is a planet. But if you feel this way, you may want to take a look at some of my real estate leads. I'm like, delete. Like,
what?
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And to your point, you have to dive deeper into who's writing the article. What basis do they have for writing the article? What biases do they have? What data are they reporting on? If it's just some random blog somewhere, then it's probably not the best data. Now, what do you think then about sales being down? I think recently sales are said to have tumbled 12% in the Western United States to a 2-year low. I mean, does this matter? So the 12% tumble on the West Coast, and then it's saying they've risen roughly 7% in the Midwest. Like, okay, great.
Yeah, you know, they almost cancel each other out, right?
And
sales are really a function of supply and demand. And what the demand is frankly what the supply is. So, you know, I don't have that article in front of me, but when I see those numbers, I dig into what's the listing, what's the available housing stock out there. Because if the housing stock is down 20% and sales are only down 12%, that's a strong market, right? But I think we are, in general, starting to see listings creep up a little bit. That might be a derivative of the interest rate piece. But look, sales being down a little bit, it doesn't worry me a lot.
Yeah. Now, I agree, and it can be potentially a good thing. All righty. We got to go to break. We'll be back with Kevin Ortner from Renter's Warehouse. Don't go anywhere.
This hour is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest-growing, and highest-reviewed property management companies in America.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renter's Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renter's Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape. And we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renter's Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
Success in real estate is all about your network. So get connected to the right network with ConnectedInvestors.com. Need help finding deals or getting those deals funded? Connected Investors is where deals get done. Find partners, off-market properties, and funding for your deals. Get serious about being a real estate investor. Go to ConnectedInvestors.com/think. Download the app and get the tools you need to get started today. ConnectedInvestors.com/think. Get connected today.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move. I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
¶¶
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Avi Goldhar.
All right, we're back, Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Avi Goldhar. My guest today, CEO of Renters Warehouse, Kevin Ortner, also a very good friend of mine. Always fun connecting with you, Kevin, about some of these news stories that have been hitting the newsstands and the TV screens and the blog headlines as of late. So it's always fun. We were talking about appreciation slowing down a little bit. We both agreed, sure, I mean, it's slowing down, but it's still growing. Right? Like they're just looking at a year over year trend and saying, well, but it's down 0.2% from last year. Well, so what? It's no big deal. People are saying the same thing about home sales, both recent existing home sales, new home sales. Does this, how much of this matters and what should I be taking away from if new home sales are to decrease and tumble? That's a good word to use. Tumble the 15% from last year. How do I read into this?
Yeah. You know, I think it depends on your strategy, right? If you're someone who's out, rehabbing and flipping homes, then maybe it's a little more concerning because maybe your property's going to sit for an extra month or two on the market, maybe. Maybe it means you can make your property stand out. Again, you need to dive into the crux of the data and understand, is listing count of available properties in your market up? Are available properties down year over year or quarter over quarter? And so I think it's a lot more complex than just looking at those big headlines and you know, the choice stats that they pull out of, that they pull out of the data. And data is a funny thing, right? You can make data say almost anything you want if you pull out, you know, those certain stats. So I think it goes back to really diving in and understanding what the data is actually saying, what it's telling you, and applying that to your strategy. Again, there's folks who are listening that are wholesalers. They're rehabbing homes. They're flipping homes. My strategy mainly is buy and hold over the long term. I'm buying properties today. I bought properties 15 years ago, and I plan to hold on to them at least 20, 30 years, if not forever, right, and pass those down to my kids and create long-term family wealth and legacy. And so, frankly, even a short-term downturn in property prices doesn't affect my strategy. In fact, it makes it better for me to buy. So I think if you're a long-term buyer, someone who's going to buy a property, a single-family rental, and rent it over the long term, if you put the right financing on it and you have the right strategy, then it really none of this really matters. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at if sales are down, right, I'm thinking about it from an investor's perspective. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Sales are down. That means sellers will buckle on their price a little bit. Fantastic. More of a deal for me. Right.
Absolutely. So I think there's a lot of excitement right now over nothing. The overall economy from a macro perspective is fantastic. Unemployment's at a 50, 60 plus year low. There's 7 million job openings across the country, more job openings than there are people. I think in order to see a massive change in real estate prices or a real estate downturn, we would have to, see an economic downturn first.
Yeah.
Or at least signs of an economic downturn or the economy slowing, right? Oftentimes, real estate can drive to an economic downturn, but we're not seeing signs of the economy slowing. We're seeing signs of the economy getting better, which I think for the short term, 12 to 24 months, bodes well for the market overall. And frankly, I go back to what we talked about last segment, seeing things maybe get more realistic in certain markets and see housing price appreciation instead of being at 10%, being at 5%.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a good thing, right? But look at that, going from a 10% appreciation in a market to a 5% appreciation,
yeah,
it's still appreciating 5%, which is better than historical averages. Yet the headline is appreciation is half what it was last year.
Right.
Right. Or appreciation's down 50%. Like, that's a big headline, but you got to put in context.
That's right, because the 50% headline makes a heck of a lot more sense, and it's going to draw clicks, and my click-through rates are going to be great to whatever I'm selling, more subscriptions to an online membership program, for example, right? Like, it's funny to me. Okay,
but at
cool.
the same time, you take that same example of going from 10% to 5%, but maybe the average historical appreciation rate in that market's 3%. if they wanted to be positive about it, they could flip that around and say housing price appreciation is still, what, 60% higher than average, right? Again, you can spin the facts any way you want to.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if they were really thinking about, say, the investor, I wouldn't phrase it in a negative perspective at all, right? I would say, hey, you know what? Just because we're seeing a 0.2% decrease in home selling activity, or in this case, say a 12% decrease in home selling activity, guess what that means for you investors, right? You may be able to bargain for better deals. Isn't this what you're kind of looking for? Because a correction, what's the definition of a correction, right? Like, that makes sense. So, I don't know. I think it's all very interesting. And like you said, if we get caught up in major news headlines, they just want opinions and they just want somebody to talk about it. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be right. Here's something interesting. Another headline, Americans prefer renovating to buying. And this potentially could be an interesting conversation based around, say, the rent estate model, where you acquire and you renovate a little bit and then you rent the property out. Quote, over 3/4 of Americans say they would rather renovate their current home than making a down payment on a new one. This surprising information was recently released by Zillow in its Housing Aspirations report. That sounds like an interesting report. The report is based on aspirations is a interesting word to use in the title of a report. Quote, this report is based in part on data from Zillow's annual report on consumer housing trends. In that report, 83% of respondents reported they love their home. Similarly, 63% said they don't plan to move. This is either out of affection for their current home or simply avoiding the hassle of moving. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know we're supposed to be talking about people who'd rather rehab than buy a new home, but I think that article right there ties to what we were just talking about, right? Home sales are down. Weird. It's because 63% of people don't want to move, right? 63% of home sellers, so more than half of Americans that own a home aren't interested in moving. In fact, 83% like their current home. So, you know, again, those types of things play into how many homes are going to be available and what the selling market's going to be looking like. So I think that's interesting. I also think it makes total sense, right? I'm this way, right? And I think it comes down to location, 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 which is the oldest cliche in the real estate world.
Yeah.
But it's so true, because if you love where you live and your neighborhood and your community and your neighbors and your kids' school, that's a tough move to make. If you want a nicer home and you can afford to move up, oftentimes maybe that means doing an addition on your home or just remodeling the home and modernizing what's in your home, and that way you get the best of both worlds. You get that new home feel, but you get to keep your roots planted where they are. I think that makes total sense to me.
Something else to maybe take a look at too, when you're working with a local real estate agent and you're out looking for property, you may want to check out neighborhoods that don't have a whole lot of activity. And you want to see what's being reported about those neighborhoods. For example, if there is not a whole lot of selling activity in a neighborhood, somebody could report, oh, you know, this neighborhood is terrible because sales, there have been zero sales over the last 3 months for this specific part of town. Well, it's not necessarily that they've had zero sales, because you can pin it that way. You could also think about it from the perspective of, holy cow, wait a minute, the school districts are great. This would be a great place to move into, and people want to stay there. So if I can get in somehow through a direct mail campaign and find a motivated seller, then this would be an incredible find for either myself and my family, for a potential rental and or investment property. And so, you know, taking a look at things like this too, just following some of those micro trends makes sense. Go to a local meetup group or local investors association and find out where nobody's really buying and ask why. And if they say, well, hey, we're not seeing a lot of sales there, it's probably a place where you want to check out and do a little bit more research on. All right, when we come back, some more headlines that we're going to talk about. Millennials placing top priority on home ownership, which is kind of interesting. And then, of course, a market analyst predicting that a pain point is coming. We've covered a little bit of that, but there's still more there to unpack. More with Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse, when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Stick around.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns.
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to BizVod.com and join today.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Abhi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, we are back. I'm your host, Abhi Golhar. My guest today is Kevin Ortner on the weekly show that we have, pretty much, the weekly segment of Think Realty Radio. I think, Kevin, at some point in time, we're going to have to come up with a name for this segment that you and I do every week, or the one that I do with the Renter's Warehouse. I know I connect with Noel Christopher as well on a regular, so I don't know. We'll figure something out, something creative. So far, we've been talking about some interesting headlines that have come our way, both from the positive and negative side. What I mean by that is there are headlines that you can look at that will say, 50% of homeowners are looking to throw away their homes, or 50%, there's been a decline of 50% in home sales over the last year. But really, you look into the 50% and it's like, you know, 3%. They're just doing a division and saying 50% because it looks bigger. And it just, you know, it's like, what are you doing? So reading through some of the stuff is really important. And then being steadfast in your investment strategy is also really important. If you're a flipper, you need to be buying single-family rentals. If you're a business person, if you're a businessman, you're a businesswoman, you're an entrepreneur, you need to be buying single-family rentals. You get the gist here. And you want to buy them over time for a period of time. You just don't want to buy and hold for 2 or 3 years. You want to buy and hold for as long as you can because that's where you benefit from the cash flow. I do have a question for you, Kevin. I was asked a little while ago, I think by, you know, Abby Tillman, our really good friend over there.
Think I do Realty. Know Abby.
Yep, content director. And she's awesome. She's been doing such a good job. And she's like, she was asking me a question, and I had a different opinion on this than I think that most people do. But folks, Abby asked one very simple question. She said, should I pay off, like if I go buy a rental property and if I put some debt on it from a local community bank, should I pay off the debt as quickly as possible or keep the debt there? What do you think?
My opinion is to keep the debt there. And, you know, then that way you can take the cash flow you're earning and rather than paying down the debt on that home, buy another one, right? And use that cash for down payment rather than paying the debt down. And that's if you're at the beginnings of building your real estate portfolio, like Abby is, right? If maybe you're later in life and getting ready to be retiring or you're done growing your portfolio, that's the time to accelerate debt payments, get those mortgages paid off so that when you do retire, you've got properties you own free and clear and can pay off. But in Abby's case, given I know approximately how old she is, she has many years ahead of her to do this, and she could let the tenants pay that mortgage down over time rather than accelerating it. So that's my opinion. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
So it's interesting. So I think my thoughts kind of changed a little bit just based on what you said, because that made a lot more sense to me, right? It's more of a hybrid model instead of picking one over the other. I was thinking, well, geez, you can follow the Dave Ramsey model and just pay off all your debt and hit some seriously awesome cash flow. Right. So essentially, you buy property number one, you're cash flowing $200 a month. Buy property number two, cash flowing $200 a month. Essentially, now your positive net cash flow every month is $400. And that $400 is going off to pay an extra $400 a month on the say, property one's note. And so you're paying that property off quicker. But I actually agree with you. I don't think that if you're young and you're in this business, you don't have to do that right now. Right. Use the leverage for what it is. And then as you transition out, let's say you're 15, 20, 30, 40 properties in and you're like, all right, enough is enough. I have Renters Warehouse managing all my stuff and I'm streamlining my process. Then aggressive pay down strategy, you have 40 properties or you have 15 properties. You can use the net cash flow to pay off one, then to pay off two, then to pay off three, then to pay off four. I like that model a lot better, actually. That's really cool.
This is why you have me on the show.
I mean, you know, exactly. No need for Noel. Just you and I every week, right? Like, that's what we got to do.
That's right. No, but I think, look, I am a big fan of Dave Ramsey. I'm a big fan of his strategies. I think he's helped tons of people get out of debt, become financially independent, et cetera. But I am a bit different from Dave Ramsey in the fact that I don't believe all debt is bad debt.
Right.
I think if you're using leverage to grow your investment portfolio or using leverage for something that's going to appreciate over time, and you have a plan in place and you're smart about the type of leverage you take and you're not over leveraging yourself or your portfolio, then it can work. It's a magical thing, in my opinion. Real estate investing is the only type of investment that ordinary Americans like you and me can actually go borrow money to buy in the first place. So let's go ahead and use that leverage, but let's be smart about it. And as you get later in your career and you're looking at that retiring, then let's start looking at how we can pay down that debt even faster. But ultimately, you buy a property today, you can get a 15 or 20-year mortgage, forget the 30-year, and have your tenants paying that down for you. And you don't even have to do any accelerated payments. By the time 15 years, 20 years, or maybe even the 30-year loan is done, your tenants paid it off for you, and retirement comes around, and you already own it cash-free or loan, you know, you own it in cash, no debt. And that cash flow is there for you for retirement. So that's how I look at it.
I think that's awesome. And do you also have, I know you have kids, do you have like two properties for a kid, essentially like a duplex for kid number one, duplex for kid number two, and then whenever you need the cash, say college or wedding fund or Ferrari fund for each kid, that's probably what I'd call it, then you can use the cash flow or just sell the house when you have paid it off in 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal strategy. Good friend of mine, and I know a good friend of the show and yours, Greg, Greg Rand, wrote a book once, and somewhere in there there's a chapter called Have a Kid, Buy a Condo, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a kid, buy an investment property. By the time the kid's ready to go to college, you've got it nearly paid down, and there's a lot of appreciation there. You can sell it, and that condo or a single-family property can pay for college. And that's part of my wife and I's strategy. We, of course, also saved for those types of things outside of our real estate investing. But I've always told her since day one, hey, if we end up running short on something or there's some sort of issue, we'll sell a house, right? We've got a bunch of them, so we'll sell one of those and take care of that college expense or whatever expense might be popping up. And so I think that's a great strategy.
That's right. You mentioned good debt and bad debt. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, I think, well, I kind of talked about it. Good debt is something that you use intentionally in a very smart way to help grow your investment portfolio or to allow yourself to maybe buy more of something than you could if you were just using cash. But you have a plan to pay it off over time, and you're still going to have cash flow even after bringing on that debt. I think bad debt, the easiest example, is, of course, credit card debt, right? Because the interest rates are crazy. You can never get caught up, and there's no reason you should ever use credit cards for something and finance something with a credit card. But a better example is something like an auto loan, right?
Mm.
Cars depreciate. They don't appreciate. So you're paying interest on a loan over time, and at the same time, that asset depreciating in value. The reason I think putting debt on rental properties works is because generally over time, over the life of the loan, they're going to appreciate as well as you're paying it down. So your equity gets benefit in both ways. You get equity because you're paying your loan down, but you're also getting equity because you're taking advantage of appreciation. And so it's a tool, right? I think if you're applying debt or leverage in a business perspective to grow your, whether you're going to grow your business or you're going to grow your real estate portfolio, there's positive debt that can be had that can allow you to do more than if you were just trying to pay cash. Likely, there's even good debt scenarios in your personal life that could be considered bad debt scenarios. Like, I'm actually a big fan, as much of a fan as I am of having leverage on rental properties, I'm a big fan of trying to pay off my primary home, the home I live in, and have that mortgage free, simply because then it's yours forever. You live there. It's not an investment. It's not a tool. You know, I think too many people look at their primary home they live in as like their main investment. That's not an investment. That's a house.
Right.
That's a home.
Yeah.
Different.
Exactly. Like Rich Dad, in the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, they talk about that very, very much from the get-go, right? Your home is not an asset. I don't necessarily think it's a liability, but it's an asset over time. And
right.
I think for me, once you sell it, you realize the financial component, the financial gain. But I like that strategy a lot. That makes a lot of sense. Good debt versus bad debt. Good conversation there. We'll get back to some of the headlines when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We'll have questions for Kevin and his team. RentersWarehouse.com. Have questions for me? Go to ThinkRealtyRadio.com. Hit play on some of your favorite episodes of the show. That give me a nice little pat on the back, actually. It's always a good thing. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns.
Real estate investors get a free 30-day trial of the number one lead generation software from rfleads.com/think. Instantly download buyer, seller, and private lender leads. RealFlow has streamlined the buying, selling, rehab, and repair process with an all-in-one real estate investing software. Go now to rfleads.com/think for your free 30-day trial. Get the tools you need to build and manage your business. More leads, more time, more money. rfleads.com/think. Your all-in-one real estate investing software. Real estate investors, first timers, or savvy buyers, auction.com has what you need to meet your real estate goals. They're the nation's largest online auction marketplace with more than 30,000 foreclosures and bank-owned properties, offering fixer-uppers and million-dollar properties both online and at live auctions. They go beyond the bid to offer a superior technology platform for convenient access and supportive services. Start searching, saving, and bidding on properties and get a free account at auction.com/thinkrealty. The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today.
Success in real estate is all about your network. So get connected to the right network with ConnectedInvestors.com. Need help finding deals or getting those deals funded? Connected Investors is where deals get done. Find partners, off-market properties, and funding for your deals. Get serious about being a real estate investor. Go to ConnectedInvestors.com/think. Download the app and get the tools you need to get started today. ConnectedInvestors.com/think. Get connected today.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site, 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Avi Goldhawk.
We are back. My guest today, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Wood Renters Warehouse. And I'm your host, Avi Goldhawk. Think Realty Radio is like essentially the only radio show you need to listen to or care about, period. You might as well just take everything else off your plate, schedule this time in every single day, and make sure that you're listening and you have your favorite writing utensil and a piece of paper, because, you know, generally we talk about a whole lot of strategies that you need to know to create the wealth and the generational wealth in real estate that you just absolutely need right now. Quick question for you, Kevin. Retirement for young Americans, Social Security, for example, is that going to be around? Is that an issue that we need to confront head on, or is that something that we can rely on that's going to be there in the future for us?
That's a funny question. Social Security, if you're under the age of, 40, you probably shouldn't be counting on Social Security to be around. Our politicians and our government will tell us it's going to be, and they're going to fix it. Let's face it, it's broke. They're talking about it going broke in, 2023, something like that, depending on which number you look at.
Yeah.
And, at the beginning of Social Security, there was something like 16 working younger generation Americans supporting one retired person. Now it's flipped to something like one working person supporting five or six or seven, I don't remember the number, retired people. So it's upside down. It's going away. If you're a millennial or younger, perhaps even a little bit older than that, and counting on Social Security as all of your retirement, you're crazy. If you're counting on it as part of your retirement, you're crazy. This is something you need to take into your own hands. And frankly, this was the reason that I wrote my book called Rent Estate Revolution, Today's Key to Retirement Security, Financial Freedom, and the New American Dream, which is the fact that Americans need to take control of their retirement, and we need to convince people to start looking at this as early as possible in their working career.
Yeah, I was just pulling up some information. There was an article on Forbes that says Social Security is running dry, and they offer an option to save it, which I don't necessarily think is an option, so we won't talk about it. But it's interesting. So, quote, over its 83-year history, Social Security has collected roughly $20.9 trillion in taxes and interest, according to this year's trustee report. It has also paid $18 trillion in benefits, leaving $2.9 trillion in trust fund reserves, which are not really reserves, but let's use that term for a minute. Continuing with the sentence, but there's something unusual that will happen in 2018. For the first time since 1982, Social Security's total cost will exceed its income this year. And this time, the trustees project it will keep doing so as far as the eye can see. To keep paying benefits at its current levels, Social Security must therefore dip into those $2.9 trillion in reserves, but eventually they will run out of money, which is estimated depletion by 2034. Medicare is in a very similar pickle, and they're saying Medicare will deplete its reserves in 2026. So I agree. I think retirement and our own future cash flow reserves, we need to take into our own hands. And if we don't do that sooner rather than later, then I think we're really setting ourselves up for financial disaster here, and that's a major challenge. So if you're a millennial, you're listening, or you're a parent who has a millennial child, start buying real estate. And I would definitely pick up Kevin's book, The Rent Estate Revolution. It's a great read. I highly recommend it. And I recently gave it as a gift to one of my friend's sons, and he read it and shot me an email. I think, Kevin, I sent you a picture of that, and he really enjoyed reading the book. So it's an incredible read. You can buy it on Amazon or just email Kevin. They'll they'll make sure to point you in the right direction, give you the link and stuff too. So let's talk about this Americans prefer renovating to buying. Actually, we talked about that article. Never mind. Moving forward onto the next one, millennials placing top priority on home ownership. A recent report from Bank of America, the Home Buyer Insights Report, indicates nearly 3 in 4 millennials, 75% of millennials, consider home ownership a top priority. Respondents equated home ownership to a status symbol, linking it to personal and financial success. What's good about this statement? What's wrong about this statement?
I think, look, it's great that millennials are thinking about this and that they're looking at real estate again as a good tool and some stability. Again, I think it's interesting because we just talked about the fact that you shouldn't look at your primary home, the home you live in, as necessarily an investment. It's good. If you're going to be in it over the long term, you're going to create some nice equity for yourself and be able to cash out on that. But there's also a lot of liabilities that go along with it from maintaining it, and it's not an income producer for you. So I think that part's interesting. It's nice to see them putting some confidence maybe back into the real estate market. A decade ago, millennials have had zero interest in buying homes, and I think it was a psychological piece because they really watched, many of them, watched their family's net worth evaporate overnight. And they were watching the banks kick them out of their home, and they had their parents were foreclosed on, and it was a tragic, terrible event, and they just didn't believe in housing the same way that maybe other generations did or have. And The other interesting piece, I think, which is kind of the theme of the show here, as we're talking about news and articles, is the fact that you just read that headline in that article. What's the date on the article?
This is October 18th.
October 18th. So I have an article here that I've seen the other day, and it is dated July 11th, and it's an entire article about why millennials aren't buying houses, why they can't, and why they don't want to.
Gotta love
it. I think one of these things is where you need to dive into the data. and understand. And a lot of this stuff we look at too macro of a level across the United States. And the particular article I'm looking at, as I'm diving into a little bit here as we're on the phone, is really around the top 20 large cities in the U.S. And the biggest reason why they don't want to or can't is because they're priced out of the market. And as you dive into the data in the article you have pulled up, it's likely more of a macro perspective across the country, where, you know, in certain areas, maybe the Midwest, it's a little easier to get that home. And I think attitudes are a little bit different there as well. But it's also, you know, are they talking about what's actually happening, or are they talking about, aspirational things, right? Is an aspirational, the millennials at some point in their life would like to buy a house? That's a pretty general statement. I think it's pretty easy to say yes to. So I think just, you know, looking at both sides of the argument, the fact that we can find articles within 3 months of each other that talk about opposite ends of the spectrum is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then even in the same article, quote, readers should note that a recent Freddie Mac survey indicated 78% of the entire population say renting is more affordable than owning. This finding implies potentially contradicting data to the Bank of America report.
There it is.
So, hey, right? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I mean, I think have you done the mathematics? I haven't done the mathematics on this, where renting is more affordable than owning. And this is more on the home ownership side, not necessarily the investment side.
Yeah, the home ownership side, again, I think it depends on the market, right? I've seen some pretty cool interactive maps out there. I can't remember where necessarily, but I've come across them over the years and even recently where, you know, it shows where renting is more maybe affordable than home ownership. And I think it's generally places where real estate prices are very high. I think the coast. Right, California and New York, and up and down the East Coast and West Coast, that renting is oftentimes more affordable simply because buying is almost unimaginable, and it's really hard to do. And some of the Midwest states, where actually I think owning rental properties in the Rust Belt is a fantastic place, you get fantastic returns, but it's a little bit more of a close mathematical equation there, where maybe even buying can be cheaper, but again, it depends on if people can have that down payment or if they want to do that. And so, again, looking at that one stat of what markets is renting more affordable than buying, as a real estate investor, doesn't make sense to look at that to where I'm going to go buy rentals. But it's certainly something to consider if you're looking to find your home you're going to live in with your family, right? What is the best equation for me is owning something I'm passionate about and I just do just because. Frankly, I could probably rent a home that's similar to the one I live in with my family, for probably cheaper if I add in all the maintenance and renovations and repairs and things you do to the home.
Yep.
But I also like owning. I like to be able to change things if I want to. I just like that philosophy. So it's a personal preference thing, and it's an interesting, I think, eternal debate.
Always, always that debate. I would say, you know, for me, I'm very much in the same boat as you are. I might as well just move to Minnesota. And we can be neighbors. I think that's a great idea.
You can move into my basement. I got a space for you. Then I can turn my primary home into an income generating tool.
There you go. Or a carriage house in the back somewhere. Kevin, thanks so much for joining me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, as always.
You got it, man. Think Realty Nation, we got to go. But that doesn't mean that your learning journey, your discovery of real estate investing needs to stop. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com, click play on some of your favorite episodes, and until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609. Or at biztalkradio.com. Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV on your time. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.